appreciation for the fact that we can come together like this under the Word of God, under the anointing of God. Amen. And never, as soon as I tell you what, as soon as I ever start losing appreciation for something, I want God to slap me around, whatever He needs to take place. You know what I'm saying? Wake me up. Because when I start losing appreciation, that's when I start to bellyache and complain. And then you start losing your whole perspective. But it's so important to be thankful for what we do have. Amen? Praise God. If you have your Bibles today, go ahead to Genesis chapter 5. Dear Lord, I thank You for the things that You planted in my heart 2 weeks ago regarding this new series. Father, my prayer today is that You help me to communicate effectively the precise plan and purpose that You have for this. Tailor make this message according to Your will and plan today, Father. I pray none of me and all of You, Father, in Jesus' name. I ask You to move up and down each and every aisle here, Father. Each person, touch them where they need touched. Bless them. Reveal Yourself to them, Father. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I started last Sunday a series called Walking with the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 23, in fact, I said earlier that there are CDs from last Sunday back there. If you weren't here, whatever, even if you were, pick up one of those CDs and listen to it again. Pass it on to somebody else. It's a great way to pass the word around. Amen. A little subtitle that we have under our photo op that we took for this series, Walking with the Lord, the smartest choice you will ever make. Walking with God is the smartest choice that you will ever make in this life. Amen? It's people in the Bible that walked with God that we recognize today. And it's not a big thing to experience obstacles in this life. What would David be without a Goliath? Would we even really know David like we know him without Goliath? Usually, even sinners, if you talk to sinners, are you familiar with David? Oh, yeah, that big giant in the Bible. What would Moses be without a Pharaoh in the Egyptians? See, they faced big obstacles. They faced big challenges in life. But it was their trust in Jehovah during that time that made them famous and made them great. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 5, we're going to look at a guy. In verse 23, it says, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years." Praise the Lord. Say, that's a long time. Enoch lived 365 years. Okay. Now, after the flood, the Lord said this. We'll see this again here today. The Lord said, "My spirit will not always strive with man, but his maximum days shall be 120 on the earth." So you're going to find after the flood, man's days significantly got shortened. Okay? So God has promised us that we have the potential, not that everybody will, but we have the potential to live a long, strong life on this earth to 120 years. Amen. And notice verse 24. "And all the days of Enoch were 365, verse 24. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Okay? This is the only phrase in the Bible that we said this last week where it says the phrase that God took him. But generally speaking, when people say God took so-and-so, they think that meant he or she died. Okay? But actually, the only Bible scripture that we have where God took someone was they had a private rapture. Amen? The Bible says he was translated. We'll see that in a second. All right? And it says that Enoch, verse 24, walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Now jump down to verse 27. "And all the days of Methuselah," that was his, see that name there, Methuselah? "And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." Now, we saw this last week that Enoch began to walk with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, the word Methuselah here, now, we know that Nowadays, when you name, when people have children, you know, you got these name books that are, could be as thick as a phone book, and you have a bunch of names that you can choose from, right? You ever seen those before? And there's 1,001 names if you have a boy or a girl. But see, back in Bible, in early Bible times, people's names were given by inspiration, and those names had significance. Okay? Like Abram was changed, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. See, names had significance. And the word Methuselah, the name Methuselah, means this in the Hebrew: when he dies, it shall come apart. When he dies, it shall fall. When he dies, judgment shall come. And it just so happens that this was the longest lifespan that anybody ever had, 969 years. Can you imagine his birthday cake? Methuselah, which is a sign of God's mercy, because the year that Methuselah died, the great flood came on the earth. Noah's flood came on the earth. The very year that Methuselah died, all right, the great flood. And so Enoch had a revelation when he had his son that when he dies, judgment is going to come. And so you're going to find that Enoch began to walk with God when he looked ahead and he saw what was coming, and he saw what was coming upon the earth. He said, bless God, I'm going to get my act together. Now, what would happen? Let me give you a case in point. What would happen if you knew that 1 year from today that Jesus Christ was going to split the eastern sky and come back, and the trumpet was going to blow, and we were going to be raised up in the rapture? How would that affect your walk today? I see a lot of blank faces. Now, how would that affect the way you are today? It's something to think about, isn't it? I don't know about you, but in my case, if I lived like that, if I knew that Jesus, and we should always live that way, with an expectation that we seize God-given opportunities to help people, share the gospel where God opens doors, you know, love people, get things right. If you need to forgive someone, forgive them. In other words, get your spiritual life in order, right? Right? Are y'all with me now? Okay, so Methuselah began to walk with God after he begat Methuselah. Enoch had a word of wisdom regarding the future. What's a word of knowledge? What's a word of wisdom? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we know that there's 9 manifestations of the Spirit of God. There's 3 gifts that say something. There's 3 gifts that reveal something. And there's 3 gifts that say, reveal, and do. Okay? The utterance gifts. You know, tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Prophecy. 3 gifts that reveal something. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Then there's 3 gifts that do something. Working of miracles, gift of special faith, and gifts of healings. 3, 3, 3. All right? And these manifestations they're given to the church so that every man can profit. These are manifestations of the Spirit that every believer has the potential to operate in. Now, we can't press a button and make them happen, okay, because it's as the Spirit wills. But if we open ourselves up for these things, God can manifest through us. Why not? Amen? But see, Enoch had a word of wisdom. That has to do with the future. Word of knowledge has to do with present facts or the past. But the word of wisdom has to do with the future. And so he immediately got his house in order. He began to walk with God. Praise God. Now go to Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute here. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to look at verse 5, if you would. And this is talking about Methuselah. Or Enoch, I'm sorry. And it's amazing how people have a problem believing that there's a rapture of the church. There were several raptures in the Bible. Amen? Elijah was raptured. Enoch was raptured. Jesus was raptured. Amen? They were taken up. Praise God. Now, it's interesting because I think the clearest example we have of a rapture was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? When after his resurrection, he came back and he spoke to the disciples on the Mount of Olives, you know. And And he was talking to them, sharing some things about the kingdom of God, which you can read about in the book of Acts, you know, chapter 1. And then in Luke chapter 24, you can read about it. Jesus is standing there communicating to his followers about taking the gospel to the nations and so forth. And as he was talking, the Bible says that there appeared a cloud of glory. He began to ascend above the people. And they stood there gazing up in Acts chapter 1. They looked up. So the rapture is something, the Bible says we're changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. But it doesn't say we're caught away in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. We're changed. This mortal shall put on immortality. Amen. But when Jesus was raptured and he went back to heaven, the Bible says they stood there just gazing up. And the angel said, this same Jesus shall come in like manner. Praise the Lord. Kind of like slow motion. Amen. You ever notice, like, if you're watching sports and stuff like that, slow motion shows things that you wouldn't see in a normal play. Isn't that true? You're like, oh, yeah, I see the penalty there. Especially against the Chiefs. I see that. Are you with me? And Jesus was taken up. Now, that's just beside the point right here. But looking in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. He walked with God. He pleased God. Then verse 6, the famous scripture that we quote most all the time, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's no way that you and I, now listen to this, there's no way that any of us could be a diligent seeker of God unless we believe that he first is. Because when we spend time with God and we pray, we're doing it by faith, right? I can't look out and see, oh, there's God, there's Jesus, there's the Holy Ghost. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? No. You believe that they are. It's by faith. Now, it's possible to have a conversation. You know, if I put a big curtain up in this room right now, and I put myself on this side of the curtain, and you guys were on the other side of the curtain, do you know we could still talk and communicate? Right? I could hear you. You could hear me. But just because I can't see you doesn't mean I can't communicate with you. And just because you can't see God doesn't mean that you can't communicate with him. Because he lives on the inside of you. Oh, praise God. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice and the voice of a stranger. They're not going to follow. You can hear from heaven every single day. Glory to God. I mean, every day of your life, you could be there in the middle of your job at work and you hear God talking to you on the inside. That's more powerful than anything. Oh my goodness. The God Almighty talks to me. I'll talk about that more later. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now let's look at Genesis 6. This is just review here, but Genesis chapter 6. And here's the same phrase again. We saw, first of all, that Enoch walked with God. If Enoch walked with God, you and I can walk with God. After all, that's Old Testament anyway, right? I mean, we have a better covenant, Hebrews 8, 6. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. Amen. See, God was for Israel. God was with Israel, but God was not in Israel. God is with us. God is for us. And God is in us in the New Testament. Glory to God. You can't, if you know that and you believe that, you cannot fail in life. God is with me. God is in me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Glory to God. I'll never have another down day again. I'll never have another depressed day. And believe me, I've passed up marvelous opportunities. See, it's amazing to me. Some people think, well, bless God, Keith, you have it so easy. You know, you're in the ministry. I've had people tell me this, bless their hearts, and say, you only work one day a week. Some loved ones, too. So you only work one day a week. You know, I want to go out, I want to take them out to the country, tie them up to a tree, and pray for them all night long. You thought I was going to say something else. Listen, you don't know the hours of sacrifice of prayer, spending time with God, consecration, so that when I come here, or Lynn, we come to give out of something that's on the inside of us from heaven. Amen? But God is in us, and we can walk with God. Notice in Genesis 6, verse 9, it says, "And these are the generations of Noah, that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation." And notice this, Noah walked with God. Amen? Well, he knew God showed him that the impending doom of what was going to come on the earth, that the thoughts and imaginations of man's heart were evil continually. See, God had to take them out because the darkness would have perpetrated in the earth. So the Lord started from scratch. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But thank God for Noah. And there was eight souls, him, his wife, his children, and wives. The Bible says there was eight souls that were on that ark. Amen. And there happens to be remains to the, I'm real big on this, but there's remains. If you go under Ron Wyatt, under his ministry, there's remains, the significant remains of Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat, on the mountains, not the Mount Ararat, but the mountains of Ararat. Amen. And the boat, the shape, everything is still there. Praise the Lord. And it's exactly the same length that the Bible talks about. Praise the Lord. And there's altars there that Noah built, you know, what's left of it, remains of the altar that he built after he came off the ark. Praise God. But see, Noah walked with God. Hallelujah. And see, Noah's ark is a type of the rapture. When judgment fell, Noah was lifted above judgment. Okay? And the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so when he was preparing that, oh, it took what, 100 years to make that ark? Something like that? Someone say long building project. It took a long time to build that ark. I guess so. They didn't have all the equipment and tools that we have today. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. But as he was building that ark, people were ridiculing him, making fun of him, because you have to realize it had never rained on the earth up to that point. The Bible says there was a mist that came out of the ground that watered the whole earth. Rain didn't happen until Noah's flood came. Hallelujah. And they're like, build an ark, making fun of him, persecuting him. But guess what? That time came when the clouds came and the thunder shook the earth and it started to rain. Now they're not laughing, they're crying. Those people that made fun of him, that didn't believe him. But he was a preacher, the Bible says, of righteousness. Glory to God. And that ark is a type of the rapture of the church, that when judgment falls, we're lifted up. Hallelujah. And you know, there's believers, there's even preachers today, bless their hearts, that think we're going to go through the tribulation as believers. Baloney. The Bible says God has not appointed us to wrath. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine, that said he used to believe that. Now he believes that we're going through the tribulation. I thought, no wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're sad all the time. It's like, we're going to go through this mess. No. God delivered Lot and his family out of the judgment that came on Sodom and Gomorrah, delivered them out. He's going to deliver you, and we're his own children, my goodness. He will deliver us out of the wrath that is to come. And the tribulation, that 7-year period, is the wrath of God upon the ungodly, not you and I. We will be caught up, the Bible says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ shall rise up. Glory to God. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds together and forever be with the Lord. And then he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words in Thessalonians. He didn't say disturb one another. He says we can bring comfort. Praise the Lord. Didn't plan on talking about that. But notice in Genesis 6, 9, it says that Noah walked with God. Say that. Noah walked with God. Now, let's talk today about how we're going to do this as believers. how you can begin to walk with God. Don't have any preconceived ideas of what this means. Let's just look at the Bible and see what it has to say about walking with God. All right? It's not a difficult thing. Some people think that in order to walk with God, you gotta sell everything you have and go live in some monastery somewhere, like a monk. Hallelujah. That's not true. Let me tell you something. God calls people to be teachers. God calls people to be nurses. God calls people to be housewives. God calls people to do all different things of life. God needs His people in every facet of life. He wants His salt through His salt shaker to be spread across the board in every realm of life and all kinds of jobs and employments. Whether you're in retail, you have your own business, God needs you there. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick here. And let's talk about real quick here, what does it mean to walk with God? All right, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 says, therefore, Paul says, we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now that's true, isn't it? While we're in this body, we're absent from the Lord. The Lord's in heaven, we're here. But His Spirit lives inside of us, right? He says, while we're confident, knowing that while we're at home with the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. See that scripture there in verse 7? For we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's our job. That's how we walk with God. We walk by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone in this room, if you're a believer, and I believe that you are, at some point you have heard from the Lord inside your spirit, but you didn't even know it. Remember that scripture? The Lord was in this place and we didn't even know it. Remember the Bible says concerning Elijah, saying there came an earthquake and there came a strong wind and the rocks were rent and all that stuff. He says, but the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the storm. He says, but then a still small voice. And God was in the still small voice on Mount Horeb. That still small voice that all of us here as believers have on the inside of us is always trying to communicate. That's God talking to us. Now, it might sound like you. You might think it's just you. But if you ask the Lord a question, He will answer you inside your spirit. Oh, yeah. And it'll always line up with the Word of God, of course. If God directs you, it's not going to be outside of Scripture. It's going to be something that's going to comfort you, bring peace to you. Hallelujah. But notice it says, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8, for we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now let me read this in the New Living real quick here. It says, we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not seeing. See that? Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Now that just makes it clear right there, doesn't it? Praise God. Let's go to this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Glory be to God. So we're going to make this practical. How do we begin to walk with God? This is the first thing I want you to see right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. Can we say that together? God is faithful. What does that mean? That means He can be counted on. He can be relied upon. He can be trusted. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We can rely on Him. God is faithful, whom you are called, notice this, to the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now let's just stop and analyze verse 9 for a second here. God, we talk about people that have a call of God in their lives, okay? And we usually, in terms, when we think of that, we're thinking apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We've got a call in their lives, right? Let me tell you something. Before all that, there's a call that God has put out to humanity, and that call is the call to fellowship. Amen? You know, we got Inauguration Day coming up. Glory to God this week. Praise the Lord. And I can't remember the girl's name, but there was a girl that was asked to sing at the inauguration from this area. Okay? Took the words right out of my mouth. She got a call from Mr. Trump or someone in his organization. I'm just using this as an illustration. Do you think her and her family were excited about that? About the opportunity? She got summoned. She got a call from President-elect. Will you sing at my inauguration? That is an honor. That's an honor, isn't it? And everybody's talking about it. Her family's talking about it. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. But there's something else. God has put out a call to you and to me, and that is the call to koinonia. Say what? That's the Greek word for fellowship, koinonia. Okay? I'll explain what that means in here in just a minute. The very first call, God has put out a call. He's put out a call to us. And that means this. Koinonia is conveyed in English terms as community, communion, joint partnership, sharing, and intimacy. I like the word intimacy. That God has a call for all of us for intimacy. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. This is probably the most important statement I'm going to make today. I can tell you that right now. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Because the Lord showed this to me a few years ago. And He revealed this to me. Sometimes, you know, you think you know something until the Lord shows you, like, I didn't know like I thought I knew it. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you, God doesn't want any of you, listen to me very carefully, God doesn't want any of you as a Christian just going through the motions. Are you kidding me? He doesn't want you just, yeah, it's Sunday, I'm in church. No, we're looking at it wrong. The greatest desire for the Lord that He has is intimacy with His children. That's the greatest desire that the Lord has. See, I always thought, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I go help somebody? He said, no, that's you got the cart before the horse. You got the tail wagging the dog. Okay? He said, no, my first desire is intimacy with you, because when you have intimacy with me and that fellowship is intact with me, then it's easier to hear what I'm telling you in these other areas. Praise God. See, when God created Adam and Eve, when God created Adam, Adam walked with Jesus. He walked with God. God would come down in the cool of the day just to communicate with Adam. He didn't just say, Adam, you got a job to do. You make sure you're doing your job now. I'll be back in a few years. No, the Bible says God would come down in the cool of the day, a certain time every day, and He would fellowship and He would walk with Adam. That's the kind of relationship that Adam had originally. And when he sinned, he broke that relationship and he broke that fellowship. And spiritual death became a part of him, separate from God. But when Jesus came back 2,000 or years later, back from us 2,000 years ago, Jesus restored that relationship with God ultimately so that we can have fellowship. Praise the Lord. Now, you know as well as I do, you know you can be married to someone, you can be legally married to someone, have a relationship according to the law, but have no fellowship. Are you with me? And you know, fellowship's a sweet thing, right? When you fellowship with someone, you share intimate things with them. It's a give and it's a take relationship. You see, our time with God is not a monologue. It's not just us talking to God. It's Him talking back to us. Because I used to go in there with my list. I like my list. You know what I mean? Go in there. Lord, I want you to do this. I want this. I'm believing for this. Blah, blah, blah. He said, well, what about me just talking with you? Okay. I just want to talk with you, Keith. I want to share some things with you. Amen? Well, Man, I'll tell you, when I started to approach it like that, it changed my life. It still does. To this day, it changes my life because I get to walk with God on a daily basis. Now, sometimes, you know, we get bogged down with things, responsibilities and things like that. And, you know, there's different types of seasons that we experience in our lives. But when I've pulled away during those times of pressure, especially pressure, and I'll go out and maybe spend a half a day with the Lord, take a drive or something, whatever, you know, go to the woods or mountains or something, you know, and just get out there and hear from God. I come back always a different person. I come back different. But if I try to tackle those problems in the natural, all I do is get frustrated. And frustration, listen to me, frustration is a sure sign and a signaling to you that you're not doing it right. Because God will alleviate the frustration. He'll take it out of you because it's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. And so, is this making sense? Yes. When we begin, I mean, I believe God wants Covenant Family Church to be a body of people that are tight with God, amen, intimate with God. Amen. And I notice this, that when, as individuals, when we're close with God, it's easier to have fellowship with other people that are going in that same direction. I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to share a little bit of the things of God with another believer, and they'll say something like, well, that was a great game last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I get the idea. Okay. Some Christians are even uncomfortable talking about the things of God. They get uncomfortable. Why is that? Because they're not walking with God like they could or should. But when you're on that same level and you're walking with God and you're pressing towards God, I'm telling you what, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's just a marvelous thing. So, the main word I want to bring out to you is this koinonia, which is the Greek word for fellowship. The main part of that is the word intimacy. And this is the thing that the Lord desires more than anything else. Now, maybe I've heard of Jesse Duplantis before. Okay. You know, why do people like Jesse so much? Because he makes them laugh. He's joyful. Right? He's got a tight relationship with God. Okay, and he's as transparent as anything, and he'll just talk about things, you know, funny things, and he'll talk about his mistakes, but he'll talk about those times when the Lord has spoken to him, and it'll be in the most unusual places, at most unusual times. But we understand, you see someone like that, it makes you want to follow after them. Amen. Paul said this. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Hallelujah. And you know, Paul was not a depressed person. People will get the impression, even Jesus was not depressed. You know, but the Sunday school pictures that I remember are Jesus with a lamb thrown across his back. I remember that vividly on the Methodist church of where I went in my Sunday school. And it always had this distinct odor too. You walk down there in that linoleum floor and it was like, what the heck is that? But it made an imprint on me, and it was like, ugh, you know, if this is God, I don't want it. And I walked into that, and they had those things, I mean, this is in the 60s, folks, you understand? And it was always pictures of Jesus with this lamb, and he looked real serious and real depressed, and he's walking around, you know. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to, I'm thinking, I don't want to be like that. But Jesus was a joyful Jesus. The scripture even tells us who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. I mean, wait a minute. He's enduring the cross with what? With joy. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, right? Jesus fulfilled his ministry. Yeah, there were times where he wept, but he got over it. Amen. Jesus wept. Well, he didn't stay in that, oh, God. You know, he didn't stay in that state. Amen? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's what the scripture says. Hallelujah. And when you walk with God, you can't be very depressed very long. And if you're not walking with God, you will be depressed. You will be sad. You always be looking at someone who, you know, you're on the short end of the stick, feeling like you've been left out somehow. They didn't look after me. They didn't treat me like I should have been treated. Listen, let me tell you, when you're walking with God, He'll make all that difference up in the world. Amen. All those shortcomings and things you felt you were left out on, God will make that up to you. I'm telling you. Are you with me? So prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. It's a fellowship. It's a connection. God, us talking to God, and God talking back to us. One thing I have noticed, I have to admit, is that the Lord's a perfect gentleman. And He's not just going to barge in and say something to you and for the most part. But if you ask Him something, then He will talk to you about it. There are times that I've asked God for something, you know, that I should have asked God for some things, and I wasn't getting an answer. But as soon as I inquired of the Lord and said, Father, here's a situation here, I'll just explain it. He knows it already, but I'll just explain it so I can hear it too. And what do you have to say about this, Lord? I need direction. As soon as I ask Him, now it may not happen instantly, but all of a sudden, here comes the wisdom. It might be in the form of an impression. See, God speaks to you through impressions, thoughts. Okay, it's not just out here like an audible voice, but God will speak to you on the inside. How many of you ever had that happen to you? Praise God. Let's go to one more scripture here, and we'll close here today. But in Luke chapter 10, so to walk with God, let's say this. The first thing is this. We have to do it by faith. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Now, when I go before the Lord, I'll say, Father, I believe. I'll say this out loud. I'll say this, Father, I believe that You are. And I believe that You'll reward me if I diligently seek You. So here we go. Boom. What happens? You just open a door and you walked into that the heavens. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Praise the Lord. You can come boldly by the blood of Jesus. You don't come timidly, fearful. You come boldly to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus has made you worthy. Let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus is so powerful. It knocked everything out, every past thing, any past mistakes, sins that you've committed, it just annihilated it. Amen? So that you can have right relationship with God. Now, I wanted to close with this Bible illustration here, that what we're talking about here. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, and it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and there was a certain woman named Martha, and received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and she heard His word. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and she came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister has left me to serve You alone? Bid her, therefore, that she may come and help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, when I was growing up, if my parents called me by my first name, middle name, and last name, I was in trouble. Keith Blank Eggert. I'm not going to tell you what they were. Okay. I don't know what drug my mother was on when she gave me my middle name, but I'm not going to reveal that to you. Okay. Jesus said, Martha, Martha. Now let's look at this scenario right here. Here you got Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, okay? But Martha and Mary had invited Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. He was friends with them to come over for dinner this particular day. You all know the story here, right? But let's not let the familiarity of this story obscure the truth of what God wants to tell us today. Jesus agreed to come to their house. And you know what? Jesus loves to come to your house. He knows your address. He knows where you live. Remember that? Remember God showed Peter, He said, told him where Ananias lived. He told him the address and everything. On Straight Street, down by the water. He showed him exactly where it was, to the T. And so here you got Martha and Mary, sisters, raised by the same parents. Jesus shows up to their house. Martha is in the kitchen preparing the meal for Jesus, for all of them actually, okay? But Mary, Martha's sister, decided to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his words. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha is in the kitchen preparing a meal. But notice that she became irritated. She became frustrated. And when she came out, I can just imagine her putting her hands on her hips and say, she had an attitude. She said, she was bold about it too, because she thought the Lord was going to back her up. My lazy sister. Right? Well, she's got it coming to her. And I'm telling you, she said, tell my sister to come into the kitchen so that she can help me. She was thinking Jesus was going to say, Mary, let's just put this on pause, press the pause button, go help your sister in the kitchen right now. Didn't do that. Didn't happen. It looked like Mary was lazy bones, because Martha had a works performance mindset. Now, is making a meal for Jesus a bad thing? Of course not. But it's the attitude behind it. She had a troubled spirit. And Martha, he says, you're troubled, Martha, you're troubled about many things. Not just this thing. You've got other issues in your life. You're troubled about it. You've got a troubled spirit. What is the cure for a troubled spirit? Because we've all had that. Irritated, frustrated, kind of antsy. Have you ever been talking to someone and they're kind of like, their body language says, make this quick, I'm out of here. Yeah. Y'all been there and done that before, okay? Okay, just checking. And it looked like justification on Martha's part to rebuke her sister in front of Jesus. But Jesus knew the situation. He said, Martha, you're troubled about many things, but Mary hath chosen the best part. Amen. Another translation says, Mary hath chosen the best dish. Oh, glory to God. What was the difference here? One had a works performance. Now listen, Martha could have had the right spirit and the right attitude, and Jesus would have blessed her just as much. She could have been in that kitchen like, praise God, chopping up these carrots and everything, putting these potatoes in here. She could have been like, glory to God, I'm making a meal for the master, hallelujah. And there wouldn't have been any issue. There wouldn't have been no Martha, Martha. He would have said, Martha, that's a good meal. So it wasn't what she was doing, it was the attitude. Mary wanted to plug in and home in. I want to hear what Jesus is saying. I want to hear what he's saying. Praise God. Now, it's not so much, you know, there's been times where the Lord has appeared to, like, Brother Hagin and different people, you know, and people in the flesh always said, well, what did he look like? Mm-hmm. And Brother Hagin would say this. He said, it doesn't matter what he looks like. It's what did he say? Yes. It's not so much what he looks like. What did he say that matters? Amen? And Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to have a Mary spirit, not a Martha spirit. Amen? Now maybe you grew up in a performance-minded family and so forth, and maybe that's been a tendency on your part to like, I got to do. Amen? We're called human beings. We're not human trying to be. Amen? But those few moments that you spend before the Lord and listen to Him and hear His word, hear His voice, is time like you will never know it. God will multiply your time. He will rearrange and rearrange things for you to make things work for you. See, life doesn't have to be so frustrating. It doesn't have to be frustrating. Today can be a change. This day can be an about face, a change, a 180. We're like, I'm tired of being frustrated. I've been there more times than I'd like to think. But I'll tell you what, when I get before God, I'm not preaching to you like pointing the finger at you, because I have been there myself. And I know from personal experience what it's like to be highly irritated, highly frustrated, fears coming at you from every angle. You know what I'm saying? But let me just tell you something. When you do things God's way, the devil will tell you that's going to take a long time for that to happen. Let me tell you something. God can redeem the time if you spend time with Him. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I hear the call of God, the summons of God going out today. Who here will decide that I'm going to start spending some quality time with God every day? Now, that doesn't mean hours. It may or may not. But it can just be a chunk of time during your day, the first part of your day. Now, maybe you're a morning person. That's fine. Maybe you're a night person. That's fine. I don't think God really cares when you spend time with Him, as long as you do it. Okay? There's some people that just love to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and they're ready to go. I's not like that. Just being honest. But that's okay. Because all of us are different. Our bodies are different. Some of us are more night people than we are morning people, and vice versa. You know, I don't think that's really the issue. It's just that it's our time that we consecrate to the Lord. We talk to Him and have a conversation with Him. And the best way to do that is just be honest with the Lord. Tell Him, don't go before the Lord belly aching and complaining, but just go before Him with a childlike faith, and you just say, Father, I'm here this morning. Sometimes I'm half awake doing it. I feel groggy and still coming out of it. You know what I'm saying? Father, I'm sitting on my chair right now, and I just thank you in that room in my house. I thank you, Father. I just want to thank you today for what you've done for me. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I start to list off things that I know He's done for me. And all of a sudden, as I begin to do that, the wheel starts to turn, you know, and the anointing starts to increase in my life, okay? I can feel it inside my spirit. Praise God. And the gears start to go. Amen. And then before you know it, half an hour later, an hour later, you're ready to go for it. Praise the Lord. Because you've heard from heaven. Amen. See, I know what it's like to be in dangerous situations. I know what it's like. I've had two life-threatening things happen to me that were the devil's trying to take me out. Two life-threatening things in the past 3 years. Okay? And I was there when the doctor came in with a report. And it wasn't a good report. I'm not going to go into great detail. I heard what was going on out there. I heard those words. Okay? But I heard another voice. Amen. In here. Holy Spirit, glory to God. And I'm here as a testimony to God today, saying I am completely, totally healed and healthy. I feel better than I did when I was 21 years old. I'm serious. I honestly feel healthier, stronger in some ways than I did when I was 21 years old. It's not so much what others are saying about you or to you. It's what God is saying to you. Amen? And I listen inside here, and the Holy Ghost says, hey, it's all going to work out. Just trust me. Just trust me. Praise the Lord. Amen? The first time I went into the hospital a few years ago, and I had a severe blood vessel break in my brain. Okay? And I know people that have died from that, like that. Okay? And when I went into the hospital, I didn't have At that time, I didn't have any health insurance whatsoever. I was in intensive care. Okay? And I'm laying there, I'm thinking, not only do I have the concern coming at me with the physical part of my body, but now I've got the fact that I don't have health insurance. And when it was all said and done, it was close to $200,000 of bills that I owed in that hospital with doctors and so forth for 2 days in the hospital. Okay? I got out of there within 2 days, praise the Lord. And I came home just in time for Christmas. Came home Christmas Eve. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And the Lord within me says, don't you be concerned about this. I got you covered. I'm going to take care of this.
Amen.
Well, a couple weeks later, the bills started coming in. I'm telling you, it was like overwhelming, needless to say. It's like getting a $200,000 bill and you don't have it. Okay? But I heard the Lord say, I've got you covered. I'm going to take care of it. Okay? Now, I could have doubted that voice easily. I could have cast it aside because it was still small. It was just in here. I could have easily said, I'm seeing the paper. I'm seeing the bills. I'm hearing getting the phone calls. Amen. A long story short, the Lord worked some things out that they completely eradicated every bill that I had and wiped out completely, supernaturally, wiped out every single debt that I had. And listen, I was not even in a position to get financial aid. I made too much. Isn't that something? You make too much, you can't get financial aid. But the Lord worked that thing out. And not only did He bring me out and healed me of that thing, okay? I'm not going to go into detail what it did, but there were some severe handicaps that I had in the physical after that happened, okay? But I heard God's voice say, if you'll trust me, I'll walk you through this. And I heard that on the hospital bed in Presbyterian Hospital. I heard that inside my spirit. Just trust me, Keith, all will be well. And I sensed the Lord almost had a smile on His face, like, it's going to work out. Smile, kick back, have a good time. I'm going to work it out.
Hallelujah.
Instead of like sweating it out, which is easy to do. And now I can look back and say, God did that. God did that.
Amen.
And then there was another thing that God did that. He healed me of this thing. Praise the Lord. And I stand here, I wasn't even planning on saying this today, but I can tell you, to testify of the grace of God and the faithfulness of God, that I'm standing here today as your pastor, healed and made whole. I could have been in heaven right now. But I'm not. My job's not finished. I've got a job to do. There's more people to reach. There's more people to pull into the kingdom of God. Amen. Put your faith out every week. God, who can I bring to church next week? Or maybe even once a month for that matter. Lord, who can I bring that's searching, that's hungry? Maybe they're a Christian, but they're not getting fed appropriately. Man, I'm telling you, come to the church. Bring them in. They're going to get fed the Word of God. That's going to give them life and hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, God will never leave you up a stream without a paddle. He's not going to put you in a situation where there's no way out. There's always going to make a way of escape. God will always make a way of escape.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.